Judy Wicks is an entrepreneur, author, and public speaker working to build a more compassionate, environmentally sustainable, and locally based economy. Her memoir, Good Morning, Beautiful Business, The Unexpected Journey of an Activist, Entrepreneur, and Local Economy Pioneer, was published in March. Judy is founder of Philadelphia's landmark White Dog Cafe, known for its leadership in the local food movement. She founded several nonprofits, including Fair Food Philly and the Sustainable Business Network of Greater Philadelphia, and co-founded the Nationwide Business Alliance of Local Living Economies. Tonight at 5 o'clock, Hawthorne Valley Farm in Ghent will host a Declaration of Interdependence, a new speaker series celebrating local living economies in the Hudson Valley and Greater Berkshire region. They'll be honoring Judy, and she'll also be speaking at a Rethink Local event on Wednesday at noon, that's tomorrow at noon, at the Barn at Buttermilk Falls in Milton. So it's a great pleasure to welcome Judy Wicks to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you here. So how did this all get started for you? As I mentioned in the introduction, were you born and brought up in Philadelphia, or did you just end up there?
I grew up in a small town in western Pennsylvania called Ingomar.
Yep.
And I came to Philly in 1970.
And the city was in what condition at that point?
Well, it's better now, put it that way.
Yeah.
I lived at the time and lived for 40 years in West Philadelphia, the University City section of Philadelphia,
yeah.
Which was in somewhat disrepair, but has really grown in the right direction in more recent years.
Rebounded very nicely. Having grown up there myself, and it is a, and I was just back a couple of weeks ago, and spending more time than I have in a long time of just walking the streets of Philadelphia. The city is looking good, and I'm curious as to your business model initially of bringing in the cafe was what? Did you want to fill a niche, or was there just a particular business model you wanted to employ?
Well, you know, I started as a waitress at a restaurant nearby, which is a long story of how that came about. But anyway, I had already been in the restaurant business for 10 years when I started the White Dog. And I started it just as a simple coffee and muffin takeout shop on the first floor of my house. And I really didn't have a vision for what it would become. Other than I wanted to be a gathering place for folks to have good conversations. But I, at the time, knew nothing about sustainability or fair trade or even the concept of a socially responsible business. I just started building my business, and my business taught me. And as I learned things, I applied them at the White Dog. And in that way, modeled various sustainable business practices.
I think it's interesting because you obviously you're in the city and you're doing this, and you're speaking this afternoon at Hawthorne Valley Farm. You'll be at Barn at Buttermilk Falls Inn in Milton tomorrow. So you are being praised and honored from these farms that ultimately provide the food to cities like Philadelphia and New York. And on this program, we have heard a lot from the other side of the equation, from folks like Hawthorne, from folks like the local food providers who are working with people like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fascinated in your perspective of how you start
yeah.
that relationship and how it happens, because you have to have a relationship with all the farms around you.
Sure.
In Pennsylvania, in outside of Philadelphia, and there are some, but it's a very built up place.
Right, right. Well, when I started the White Dog in 1983, there was not a local food movement that was very apparent anyway. But I grew up in a small town where we had a large family garden, and we also had many, many farms in the area. So I was used to eating fresh local food. So my idea when I started the White Dog was that I wanted to have all American food that was prepared with local ingredients. And I had just been working in a French restaurant for 10 years, and I was kind of tired of French food and all those heavy sauces and so on, and I wanted to have cooking like my mom and grandmom did. And I'm not myself not a cook, but that's what I longed for. And I had no idea that local food would become a huge trend. I just was looking for what I had as a child and what seemed appealing to me. So we started buying from a couple local farms, and then that grew, and our chef became very skilled at being able to order from chefs, because from farms, it's not that easy, you know, and some restaurants pick up the phone and call one number and order everything from one middleman purveyor, and a lot of processed food, frozen or whatever. But when you buy from local farms, you make, I don't know, 20 calls, you know, to different farms. You get your blueberries here. Oh, the cow's not quite ready for slaughter over here, so you got to get it over here, or, you know, whatever. So we built up a whole network of farms that supplied the white dog. Starting in about 85, we started buying from farmers. And so we were kind of a pioneer in this, at least in our region of Pennsylvania.
What is the farming? Because still in, I mean, we think of New York City, obviously, but in so much of upstate New York, we are a very farm-rich community.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have, not to say that it isn't troubled, and not to say that we aren't, we don't have very strong concerns.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are wonderful, glorious farms that provide great food. Are you finding that to be rarer in the Pennsylvania area, or is it the opposite, where there are people like yourself who are coming in and realizing the importance of this and starting?
It's businesses on the upswing. You know, Pennsylvania also, we have Lancaster County, which was,
yes,
one of the breadbaskets of the country. Great farm country, great soil, and so on. Of course, New Jersey also has great farms. So
yeah,
we have a great advantage of wonderful farms in the area that also supply D.C. as well as Philadelphia. And so it was hard to find the farmers because, you know, our whole food system had been set up for exports. So even the small farmers were taking their goods to auction, which were bought up by larger companies and sent out of the region. And that was the case across the country, where even if you lived in farm country, it was hard to find a farm stand or a place to buy local food. So it was really about reestablishing the trade routes of where the farmers brought their food into Philadelphia, because that had been abandoned years before. So in the beginning, a farmer would just have to come into town and bring the food right to our doorstep, which still goes on to a certain extent. But now there's also middlemen farmers, farmer cooperatives, where farms will get together and have form a cooperative so that every farmer doesn't have to drive into town one day a week. They take turns, or they hire someone to make the trip. And we also have a local distributor, Common Market, that picks up from different farms and brings it into town and aggregates it so that larger food operations such as hotels or schools or hospitals can just pick up the phone and call one place and still be able to get farm food. So it's something that's been growing. And I think nationwide, this was the first year, this past year, where the number of family farms actually increased after a decline for many years. So in the Philadelphia area, as well as around the country, I think the local food systems are growing stronger.
And as far as the you've written this book, as I mentioned, Good Morning Beautiful Business, and the story you wanted to tell is one that you believe can be replicated.
Yes, and I think, you know, for me, a big turning point came when I moved from seeing our farm suppliers as our farm suppliers. Like, this was the network that served the white dog. And, you know, I was very compelled to buy humanely raised meats, for instance, when I found out about the factory farming of pigs. So I finally got to the place where I looked at my menu and thought, gee, we've done it. All of our meat and poultry and eggs come from small family farms where the animals are raised with kindness and respect. This is our market niche. We're the only restaurant in Philadelphia that's doing this. This is our competitive advantage. And then my transformational moment came when I realized that if I really did care about the farm animals, and I cared about the small farms that were being driven out of business, and I cared about the environment that was being polluted by these big factory farms where all manure was concentrated and becoming a health hazard, and I cared about consumers that were eating this meat that was full of antibiotics and hormones and so on, that rather than keeping this information to myself as my competitive advantage, I would share this knowledge with my competitors, with the other restaurants in town. And that was a real turning point for me, and I feel like that is the linchpin, in a sense, for building a new economy, that when we move from competition to cooperation, because there's no such thing as one sustainable restaurant or one sustainable household, that we can only really be part of a sustainable system. And we need to cooperate in order to build that whole system that's based on the same values of humane and sustainable agriculture.
And you said there was that waking up moment, and that's, I assume, suddenly where you find yourself to be not only a business owner, but an activist.
Absolutely. And also just thinking, as we say, moving from me to we, you know, understanding that our survival, really, and our health and well-being depends on our community, not just on our own business. It's a concept that we need to move from a competitive perspective to one of cooperation and understanding that we're all in this together. And so from there, I started a nonprofit, White Dog Community Enterprises, and began putting 20% of my profits into my nonprofit and starting Fair Food Philly. And the first project of Fair Food was for our first staff person to go around to the other restaurants and teach them how to buy from farmers and give them a list of all the farms with the phone numbers and what each farm, you know, supplied, to really help to build the system. And then we started a farmer assistance program to help the farmers understand how to sell to an urban marketplace, what things to grow, what type of quality they need to be accepted, you know, in the farm stands and restaurants and so on. And so that's how I kind of magnified our work, how I took what I was doing at the White Dog to a higher level by starting the nonprofit.
One of the things that concerns me, and I've seen it on more than one occasion in businesses like yours and operations like yours and from fairly mainstream publications where they will say something to the gist of the latest trend is. And the fact that this is put up in some sort of, that it's a trend, it's something that's going to come, it's going to go, seems to be disingenuous, because what you're trying to do is make the point of if we are going to the sustainability here, the object of this is to be sustainable and to keep this going for as long as we possibly can.
Absolutely. It certainly is not a trend. It's really, as far as I'm concerned, a matter of survival.
Yeah.
That we need to move from we meaning communities everywhere, you know, not just in the United States, but around the world. Our communities have become dependent on large corporations to deliver our basic needs, you know, food, energy, clothing, building supplies. And this is a dangerous situation to be in, especially with climate change and peak oil and so on, that we need to have local self-reliance. And that's really the basis of this movement, is to have local, you know, community self-reliance in the basic needs of food and energy and water in particular. And that if every community in the world did have food, water, and energy security, that creates the foundation for world peace. So our vision, and I went on to found, as you mentioned, the Business Alliance for Local Living Economies, which is a continent-wide organization. We have members from Canada and the United States, about 30,000 local independent businesses in our network that are working in 83 different communities, including here in the Hudson Valley. And so our vision is really a global one, that instead of having a global economy that's controlled by these large multinational corporations that ship basic needs long distance around the world unnecessarily, that we are a global economy that's an intricate network of small to small fair trade relationships that connect local living economies that are self-reliant in the basic needs. And then we trade in things that we don't have locally that we would like to have, like coffee or bananas or a unique fashion or whatever. We're not against globalization, but we're for local self-reliance, that our basic needs are provided at home. And then we trade into things that make life more interesting, you know.
Absolutely. You are going to be at Hawthorne Valley Farm for a talk and a book signing tonight, followed by their summer cookout and dancing.
Yeah.
It's at the Hawthorne Valley Farm, and you can find out more information by going to hawthornevalleyfarm.org. It's tonight at 5 o'clock. You will also be at the Rethink Local Speaker Series and Lunch with Judy, is what it's being called.
Right.
And that's in Milton, New York. And you can find out more information about that event by going to Rethink Local judywicks.org, and you can find out about Judy and her great work by going to judywicks.com. It's W-I-C-K-S, judywicks.com. And again, the title of the book, Good Morning, Beautiful Business, The Unexpected Journey of an Activist Entrepreneur and Local Economy Pioneer. Judy, congratulations. Thank you very much for being with us, and it's a delight to have you in the region.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.